Our success as an agency in cleaning up the water before it discharges to the Everglades goes hand in hand with the success of the farmers implementing their piece of it. And so their piece is implementation of source control programs. So they're cleaning up water, reducing the phosphorus load at the source on the farms before they are ultimately discharged into our treatment system, which is what you see here, and you'll learn more about our regional stormwater treatment areas, which then further reduces the phosphorus levels before ultimately that water is discharged to the Everglades. So again, a very, very comprehensive program. So just to give you a little bit of background on our BMP program, again, it's a mandatory BMP program. It's implemented as a regulatory program. Folks have to get permits for their system. Again, a comprehensive system to reduce the amount of phosphorus discharged from the farms. It has a number of elements. One, certainly from a farmer's perspective, it needs to be cost effective. And so it's up to the individual producers and permittees to come up with the best management practices that work for their particular operation. Although a substantial portion of the Everglades agricultural area is in sugarcane production, we also have a number of vegetable growers that have different operations, different water management needs. And so it's up to them to come up with the best complement of BMPs that works for their particular operation. The three mandatory components, again, within those components, the producers come up with their own plan. It includes nutrient management BMPs, sediment control, as well as water management. So within our regulatory program, the flexibility is there for folks to come up with their individualized plan, but it has to include a certain number of components from each of these major categories. I'm not sure how unique this is in the nation and other areas, but as a mandatory program, again, comprehensive, you have to have a permit. That entails compliance, that we've got a verification process. We have staff inspectors that will come out and do compliance checks on individual permittees, check their records on their fertilizer application, check their records that they're keeping for their BMPs. There were deadlines for implementation to get all these BMPs in place. There's water quality monitoring for the individual permittees that are in place. But when I talk about compliance, I will tell you that's individual monitoring, so they know what's going on, good trend of how the BMPs are working, but that's not what we're using for compliance. We have kind of a unique compliance methodology. We've also invested a good bit in research and demonstration projects. As we started this program, again, back in 1994, there certainly had been a good bit of work done on BMPs, but a lot more done in the last 20 years, both by, and I think you're going to visit the IFAS Agricultural Center, a lot of research work done there on what's the best practices for reducing phosphorus. And so the district has invested and funded some of those research projects. But one of the other things very unique in this area is the producers themselves, and you'll hear more about it from Bubba Wade. There's an Everglades Protection District, which is a taxing district. They collect per landowner, paying a tax that goes into funding research. And it's really kind of evolved from research on BMPs and what can they do, but they have a very, very collaborative relationship with the Water Management District on how do we make sure these STAs operate as effectively as we can. So we've got a very large-scale research program going on to optimize, because what you'll hear in the other areas on how the STAs perform, they perform incredibly well. But the standard is really, really small. You know, we can consistently get down to 17, 20 parts per billion, but the standard is 10, and a flow-weighted mean when it actually discharges of about 13. And so that last little increment of getting phosphorus from 17 or 18 down to 13 is really, really challenging. And one of the things we're about to implement is the next phase of kind of the Everglades Forever Act, called Restoration Strategies. That's another $780 million program for additional STAs, additional measures to get the phosphorus down to that last increment of removal. This system, as you'll learn about the STAs that have been constructed, is about $1 billion of infrastructure that's put in place. There are six STAs here that operate to take runoff from C-139NX as well as the EAA. The district levies a tax not only on every property owner in 15 counties from Orlando to the Keys, pays a tax to fund the construction and operation of the STAs, as well as the landowners, $25 per acre. Separate from that, they have their own established taxing district themselves that's run by a board, and they levy a tax to collect funds for research and for BMP research and science. So then from a compliance standpoint, so once we have had all these BMPs in place, you know, very important is, you know, trust but verify. So there's got to be a compliance methodology of, are these BMPs actually being effective? And I think this is one of the really great success stories of the Everglades Forever Act and the operation of the agricultural community and really performing. The requirement is that they reduce the phosphorus load by 25%. So that was compared to the base period before BMPs were implemented. What was their phosphorus load, and whatever that had been, it had to be reduced by 25%. And that's something that's calculated every single year, and it's done for the basin as a whole. It's not an individual farm, because again, we have different producers. You have vegetable, you have sugarcane, very, very different discharges. But the area as a whole is taken into consideration to determine whether or not that target has been met of 25% reduction. So this is the base period, if you will, before BMPs were implemented. And as BMPs were implemented, you can see the red is the three-year rolling average. The blues are the actual per year success. So for the last 5 years or so, the percent load reduction has been on the order of 60%, Pam, 55-60%. So the target 25% load reduction, and what they've actually been able to achieve is on the order of 55-60%. And the way that this is calculated is it takes into account rainfall, because certainly a load base depends on how much rainfall you've had, how much you've discharged. So it is actually compared from on a predictive basis, what would that runoff had been if you assume the same conditions in the pre-BMP period adjusted for rainfall, and then you determine, okay, what was your actual reduction based on the observed conditions in that year. So you can see for last year, the load reduction was 63%, and that equated to 104.5 metric tons that was discharged, compared to the pre-BMP base period, which would have been about 285 metric tons. So very, very successful on the individual farms. You can see we did have 1 year here. We didn't meet the target, 2007. And if you lived in Florida, that was pretty easily explainable, because that was following five back-to-back hurricanes. And all of the water that comes into the EAA is coming from Lake Okeechobee. And after those hurricanes, the lake was so stirred up with phosphorus, the inflow concentration coming to the EAA was on the order of 250 to 400 parts per billion. So very, very bad water quality coming in. Farms still reduced what that load was before it was discharged. So that's kind of the big picture overview of how the BMPs work with our public works projects before we discharge to the Everglades. I think it's really been one of the most successful programs that we've had implemented.